Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
If you ever end up in the mountains after sundown, be careful, be respectful, and most importantly, don't touch the skulls. The first time someone told me that, I thought they were strange, superstitious folk. I just moved to a little town nestled in the Appalachian Mountains, looking for a new start away from the busy cities I lived in for all my life. A house with a forest for a backyard and neighbours a mile or so away sounded perfect at the time. It's what led me to buying the property in the first place. Now, I think I regret that decision. Don't get me wrong, the house is nice. It has a few problems, like a creaking porch, and the kitchen's a bit too small for my liking. But it's cute. Quaint is what the realtor kept saying when she showed me the rooms, and I agreed with her. Even if it is a little small, the real selling point was the acres of forest that would be considered mine. I remember my first trip to the town at the base of the mountain, a small place where everyone knows each other. Naturally, some weren't sure about me, but most were actually nice. Asking where I grew up, what I did for work, no more questions until the owner of the only grocery store in town, Mr. Faraday, asked me if I planned on hiking in the forest. Well, yeah, of course. I think I laughed as he bagged up my groceries, eyeing me the entire time. Of course, silly question, he agreed as he handed me the bags, then continued. The forest is perfectly safe during the day. Just get home once the sun starts setting. You're asking for trouble with the wildlife, or you'll get lost if it gets too dark. Anything in particular I should worry about? We get black bears sometimes. Yell at them though, and they'll run usually. Scaredy cats, the lot of them, unless you find a mama. Moose, foxes, wild boars, wolves. I paused in gathering up my bags and repeated. Wolves? I thought wolves were extinct here in the Appalachians. Mr. Faraday shrugged and ignored my question, continuing like I hadn't said anything. Be careful out there. Always take water. Be respectful. Don't be one of them city folk that makes a mess of the place. See a flower and think it's pretty? You take a picture and leave it alone. Easy enough. Anything else I should do? I wanted to be nice and not just blow the guy off, even if most of his advice was common sense. Then again, I didn't doubt there had been trouble in the past with some outsiders. It happened all the time in the parks I would go to as a kid. Jerks that would come through and leave beer cans or cigarette butts everywhere. He met my eyes, staring for a second too soon before he replied. If you see skulls or bones, don't touch them. If they're in the way, you go around them. I stared back, feeling uneasy as he suddenly smiled and said, You come back soon, you hear? Our own specials every week on fresh produce and meat. I should have listened better to him. The first few times I ventured into the forest, it was always in the late morning. There's an old trail behind the house, overgrown but still usable, and use it I did. The forest is beautiful. There are all kinds of songbirds and small animals and interesting plant life to see. I tried going in the morning when it wasn't too hot. I made sure to bring water and wore good hiking boots whenever I had time for a walk before work. There is a point in the trail where it branches off in two directions, and that is the point where I turn back around. The last thing I wanted was to choose the wrong path and end up hopelessly lost or unable to find my way back. Then work changed my schedule, so I started going in the late afternoon. I stayed out longer, just getting done with my hike as the sky was bathed in pinks and orange, the sun no longer visible, but giving just enough light. I never noticed anything different between the morning and late afternoon hikes, other than less birds singing. Then, small things began to happen. Little oddities that were easy to write off. trees that had long scratches down their trunks, the songbirds quieting down at the start of my afternoon hikes rather than towards the end. I figured it was from the seasons changing, the night getting longer and days shortening. I had to be quick about my daily routine, only letting myself get maybe a mile into the forest before turning around. Even if I didn't believe the townsfolk that had gotten more vocal about being mindful of myself in the woods, I still didn't want to get lost. Then, I came across a deer skull. It was in the middle of the path back to my house, bleached and cracked, looking far too old. I looked around the trees to see if anyone was around, because it hadn't been there on my way up to the mountain. I even called out, nervous, "Hello?" and got nothing. The idea of leaving it where I constantly treaded made me sick, so I grabbed a stick and carefully put it through one of the eye sockets. I took a breath, then tossed it off into the trees, watching it as it hit the ground before dropping the stick and quickly making my way back home. That's when the howling started. It woke me up in the dead of night, a long, lone howl off in the distance. I was confused, startled, because until that point, I'd never heard a wolf howl before that wasn't on TV. I didn't even know if that's what it was. I laid there for a while, listening to it, then turned on some music to drown it out and go back to sleep. For a week, I would wake up in a cold sweat, and the wolf would be singing away until I finally started going to sleep with music. I asked about it the next time I went into town, curious if anyone else heard it. Nobody did. Mr. Faraday shook his head and said he hadn't heard any noise as he gave me change for my groceries. The pharmacist told me it was probably just a lonely or hurt animal when I was looking for some sleep aid. Even the waitress at the diner shrugged and said, "Haven't heard a thing, honey. Just make sure to keep your doors locked. Always better to be safe than sorry." The next time I went into the forest, I made sure it was right after work so I could enjoy a nice long stroll. The trees with the scratches were closer to my home, but I shrugged it off, figuring it was a bear or a moose. I did my usual circuit, followed the trail until I got to where it branches off and took a minor break, sitting on a fallen tree to drink some water. As I got up to start my way down, I noticed that the forest had become quiet. I felt nervous, glancing around to look for a reason like a bear stalking about, but found nothing. At that point, I quickly headed back home and nearly tripped over another skull. A moose skull, going off the huge antlers still attached to the white bone, perfectly preserved and staring in my direction. I looked around, wanting to find out who was messing with me, but I couldn't see anything but the trees and lush ferns. I thought about picking it up and throwing it to the side, but I took a deep breath and walked around it, then began running back home. It appeared two more times before I had had enough. On the third time, I picked it up and threw it into the trees. I didn't stay to watch where it landed, and the moment I got home, I slammed the door and locked up everything. I was shaking, trembling in my kitchen after locking the back door and dared to look out the window. I didn't see anything, but I felt like something was watching me. A howl didn't wake me up that night. The sound of my porch creaking did. The groaning of wood had my eyes snapping open as my heart leapt into my throat. I laid in bed, unable to move when I heard a low growl near my window. The curtain was drawn, so I couldn't see outside, but I could hear whatever it was. The sound was that of an animal, but something didn't quite sound right. I tried putting my finger on it when the growling stopped for a second. Then a howl rattled my windows and my bones. I rushed to my bathroom, the only place in the house that had no windows, and slammed the door shut, curling up in the bathtub. I didn't move until my alarm rang at 7 and the sun was shining through the curtains. It kept happening. Every night, the porch would creak. The growling would begin, then finally the howls that lasted until the sun came up. I had enough by the fourth or fifth night and drove back to town, functioning on a cocktail of adrenaline, fear and caffeine. I had to wait for the store to open, but the moment it did, I sought out Mr. Faraday, who was stocking some items on the shelves. He glanced at me and said, "You look like hell. If you need help sleeping, you should see a doctor." "Something keeps showing up at my house. I think it's that wolf I was telling you about." He froze, a slight tremor in his fingers before he turned, calling, "Sarah, mind the front. I'll be back." He didn't wait for a reply, and instead headed to the back of the store, motioning for me to come along. I did so, following him through the door that led outside. Once out, in the too sunny morning, he lit a cigarette, then sighed. "I told you to mind the bones." I broke down at the point, lack of sleep leaving me without a filter. It kept showing up. I ignored it the first time, and it kept getting in my way. "What was it?" "A moose skull. There was another skull 2 weeks ago. It was a deer, but I moved that with a stick." A shake of the head. "Still counts, son. What happened after you moved the deer?" I admitted that's when the howling first started, but it was far off in the distance, easy to ignore. Something that had him frowning, but not interrupting, until I finally asked, "It's not a wolf, is it?" Mr. Faraday looked at me for a long time, then stubbed out the cigarette before reaching for another one. "I told you what not to do, and yet you did it. Now you've got a mess to deal with." I opened my mouth, so ready to demand he answer my question, but he kept going. "Now listen here, and you listen. You're going to buy some meat, the reddest, bloodiest meat I have, then go home and put it in the fridge. When the sun is setting, you're going to go into that forest with the meat and put it on the path. The minute you do that, you turn tail and run home. You don't look back, no matter what sounds you hear or feeling you get. You run and lock up tight. And it'll just go away? Just like that?" I asked, feeling a tiny bit hopeful. The next words dashed those hopes away. "Nothing is guaranteed, son. This is you trying to make amends. It doesn't mean you'll be forgiven." Anger boiled in me, and I snapped at him. "I didn't even do anything." He shook his head with a small frown and said, "You showed disrespect and acknowledged them. That's enough in a place like this." I opened my mouth, but he brushed past me and asked, "You gonna buy the meat or what?" I ended up doing so. I didn't know what else to do, and figured, why not just go along with it? I couldn't explain anything else, so why not try to make amends? I bought the bloodiest steaks I could and drove back home in a daze. I set an alarm to ring just before sundown and crashed on my couch until then. It was surreal, walking out to the trail as the sun began its descent. I noticed that more and more trees had the strange scratches on them and shuddered at the idea of something, or many somethings, being so close to the house. I walked about 10 minutes up the path before laying out the stakes. It was disgusting, the blood collecting on the brown butcher paper, but I piled them up, then looked around. I couldn't see anything, just the usual trees, and decided to head back home. I took a handful of steps when I heard it. A low growling from behind me that had the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. Heavy thumping followed the growling, getting closer and closer and breaking me out of my stupor. I got my feet moving again and headed back to the house as the sound of teeth ripping into raw meat met my ears. Once I was at the end of the path, my home in sight, I dared to turn my head before I ran back to the house, scrambling up the porch and barely slamming the door shut in time. It had been right behind me, following like an obedient dog. Only, it wasn't a dog. not even a wolf. I had to brace myself against the door as it slammed into the wood, growling and grunting. I managed to lock it, just barely, before rushing to the front door to make sure it was locked as well. It nearly beat me. I hit the door just as it started to open and pushed my entire body weight against it. It was barely enough to keep it out as I flicked the lock. I stumbled back, shaking and panting, staring at the door as the growling began all over again. This time, I followed it to the back porch and peered through the window. It walked on four legs, fingers splayed out with long claws for nails and covered in black fur in some places, pale human skin in others. As it walked, the back legs bent unnaturally and made a horrific snapping noise, the bones visible through the skin and twisting with every movement. The head is the most disturbing, a bloodied muzzle that stretched out too much for a wolf, eyes glowing red and can open the mouth far too wide. The fangs were all black and red with blood, too long, too curved. When it closes its jaw, blood oozed out. I stared at it, and it stared at me before the lips peeled back into a sort of demented smile, the growling stopping, and instead, a new sound started. A sharp, high-pitched laugh, human almost, filled the air. I shivered, ready to shut the curtains, when I heard more laughter. I looked beyond it and froze at the sight of more pairs of red eyes out in the forest. The heckling grew in volume, echoing until it's all I heard. Even now, I still hear it. I hid in the bathroom again, feeling like a child and praying that my doors and windows would hold. Once the sun came up and I mustered up enough courage to get to my car, I found dozens and dozens of skulls on my porch, all different shapes and sizes, some bleached white, others black with decay, some red, and others laying in pools of blood. One of them was human. I wanted to run to the car, bulldoze through the bones, but instead I forced myself to carefully step over each and every one of them. Once I got back into town, I sought out Mr. Faraday. He listened quietly to my account, looking disappointed and annoyed by the time I was done, and said, "I told you not to look. Now you really made a mess. Not just for you, but for everyone." My blood ran cold and I asked, "What do you mean?" "Everyone heard them last night, son, because of your screw-up." He closed his eyes and lit a cigarette, even though we stood in the paper goods aisle. "What if I just leave? Just go back to where I came from?" He shook his head and flicked the ashes onto the ground, uncaring of where they ended up. "Then what? What do I do?" "You're going to clean up your mess. A hunting party is gathering at the diner at sundown. You better be there." I asked if he really thought they could be killed, if it was possible, and he waved his hand and said, "We've done it before, son. You're not the first one to not listen. You won't be the last. But you made the trouble. You better be ready to help get rid of it." I swallowed, hesitating, then dared to ask, "Do people not come back from hunting?" "All the time. This time won't be any different. Sundown, son. Or we'll not just be hunting them, but you too." We gathered at the diner, and I've been given a shotgun and a crash course on how to use it, shown how to load it, told what not to do, and what to watch out for. According to Mr. Faraday, who was around for the last purge, the wolves of the Appalachians is what they call them. He's sticking close to me. He says having a buddy nearby is important. It's safer this way. The wolves like to drag people into the forest or decapitate their victims. They collect their skulls. The bullets I have are supposed to be special, blessed by the priest and bathed in holy water or something like that. I've never hunted before. That's why I'm leaving this account in case I don't come back. Hunting accidents happen all the time. That's what the townsfolk will say if anyone comes asking about me, or anyone that doesn't come back. The sun hasn't set yet, giving us time to prepare and the priest time to bless every bullet he can. But we can hear them already. The wolves are laughing again.